Okay, we're recording also.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
Lee Wells?
Here.
Lisa Nowski?
Here.
Okay, Bill, you're sitting right there.
Yep.
Jerry Kolke?
I'm here.
Okay. And Randy Laufer?
Present.
Okay, and Justin O'Day is absent. Also in the room, myself, Justin, the coordinator, and Chris is here as well.
Yeah, and we've also got Kevin Tyler and Danielle Cowley on the conference call, and that is it.
Okay. So we have a board and we have a quorum, so we can go ahead and start the meeting. And I guess I'll just turn it over to Justin to take off and go over what you have on the agenda.
Fantastic. First, we need to review and approve the minutes from the May 4th meeting, which we missed. We did not review and approve those minutes at our last gathering, the July 6th meeting. And then after that, we can review and approve the minutes from the July 6th meeting. But why don't we start off with the May 4th meeting?
Okay, this is Bill, and I have reviewed the minutes from the May 4th meeting, and I would move for approval as presented.
All right.
Yeah, I'll second it. Lee Wells.
We have motion and second to approve the May 4th minutes. Any other discussion? Okay, all in favor say aye.
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 Okay, those are passed. Then we have the July minutes. Might as well go right into those. If you've read those, we can maybe get a motion to approve them or questions.
This is Bill again. I will. I've reviewed them, and I will approve to move to approve them as presented.
Okay, Bill. Thank you. And I'll go ahead and second them. So we have a motion and a second to adopt the July minutes. Any other questions or discussion on those? Then I'll ask for a motion. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Okay. And opposed, same. Okay, so we've adopted both May and July minutes. And we'll move forward. Justin, again,
fantastic.
On you.
Yeah, okay, great. So I wanted to provide some updates on our program. Is there anybody who didn't get the latest email from me that was the update for October, where I kind of made a wrap-up of the year, talked about the fines and land management plans? Did anybody not get that?
I probably got it. This is Bill. I probably got it, but I did not see it. Oh, okay. You got one for me? Hey,
yep.
Thank you. Okay.
Yep. I'll hand you that one because I printed off my email. It goes into a little bit more detail on the fines. Did anybody else not see the email?
No, I seen it.
Great, okay. Well, if everybody is either holding it or has seen it, then I don't need to go into it too much. Bill can just read it there.
Mm-hmm. Yep, fine.
Okay. In addition to that, I just wanted to give you guys an update. The state weed board is considering adding two species to the state noxious weed list. They're considering adding drooping sedge, which is a sedge, so it looks a lot like grass to the layperson. So it would be pretty difficult to identify. It does have some drooping seeds at the end, but as far as, you know, the average person would have a hard time knowing that that's an invasive species. It's shade tolerant, so it's a threat to our forest ecosystems. And they're also considering Spanish thistle, which is a really nasty customer. That's one that can successfully produce seeds when it's only 3 inches tall. They have a picture that's been circulating of a thistle plant in the palm of somebody's hand with a nice flower on it. Typically, though, it can get up to 4 feet tall and very successfully compete with grasses, that type of thing. So, much like our slender flower thistle and Italian thistle that it's related to, Spanish thistle looks like it could be quite bad, and it's been discovered in Oregon. So I think that's the impetus for why they're considering those two. That hearing at the state is November 10th. It's available virtually, you could call into it, 11 a.m. And I have the details for that if you guys, if anybody wants to, anybody wants to call into that and hear about those changes and kind of get the state's take on that whole issue, I'd be happy to email you. I'll just forward you the email that I got from the state. And it's got all the particulars for how to call in, so just let me know if anybody's interested in more information on that. Did anybody have any questions that they wanted to talk about my update?
Just a question on the Spanish thistle. What areas did they find it in? What kind of areas? Forest, pasture? I mean,
it looked like rangeland from the pictures. It looked like it was okay. Central Oregon rangeland.
Okay.
Yeah, so I would be worried about it in pastures.
Yeah, okay. Just wondering where we were finding it or where it was. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, it's not widespread yet. It's a new invader.
Yeah, that's what we need, another one.
Right. Okay.
Hey, Justin.
Yes, Justin, Danielle.
Kevin got kicked off the call.
Oh,
so,
okay.
I don't know if you can enter him back in, but just FYI.
Yeah, let me try to get him back.
Yeah, we didn't like him anyhow.
Yeah, let me find my.
Well, now we can talk
him.
About him behind
yeah,
your back.
Yeah.
All right, I'll try to give him a call again. Hang on a sec,
except
everybody.
It's recorded.
Hello, we're calling you back.
Oh, okay.
Hang on.
Well, I guess it is.
All right. I think we got him back.
Yeah. Hello.
Okay, great. Kevin's back. All right. So, did anybody have any questions about either the update that I provided or the two new weeds that the state weed board is considering? Okay. Okay, hearing no discussion about that or questions, I wanted to bring up the possibility of an assessment to just continue the discussion. There's been some questions recently that I've fielded about the assessment possibility, since the county's had quite a lot of demand on the county's general fund. So there was some question about if the program was fully funded and how might we have other options for funding the program from management in the county. And so I fielded some questions on that. I wanted to basically take the temperature of the room and just ask the question, what circumstances or parameters could you support an assessment, if any? Would there be an ideal setup that you guys would support for the vegetation management program, the field inspection program side, to be funded by an assessment? And for anybody who doesn't know, what we're talking about would be a fee, a tax on each parcel in Clark County, similar to how the Clean Water Program works, where they have a per parcel tax. And depending on how it's desired to be structured, you can have different classifications. The state weed law is set up to have different classifications of land to be taxed at different rates. So, for instance, land that's not used for agriculture, that's dry, not irrigated, scrub land, range land, that could be assessed at a different rate. Oh, did somebody get kicked off again? Is there any way to tell?
No, not from this end.
Okay. Well, if you're not here, say something.
Oh. Well, Jerry, are you still there?
I am.
Okay.
Kevin got kicked off last time, so maybe he got kicked off again. Kevin, are you still there? Okay, well, he's having difficulty, so we'll just shove on without him. And
okay, yeah, that's probably...
Sorry,
that's
Kevin.
That's probably best. I could call him and put him on speakerphone.
Yeah, if you want to try that.
I'll try that.
That'd be okay.
Oh, he just sent me a text and said, maybe try my computer phone.
What is that? I don't know what that is.
He sent me the phone number.
Oh, okay.
Let's see. Sorry, everybody. Do you want to try it, or should I just call it? I can put him on speakerphone.
Yeah, why don't you just call him and put him on speaker?
I'll put him on speakerphone.
Hear that beeping. Technical difficulties.
Yep.
Seems on par for the year.
Hey, Kevin, it's Justin. I figured I'd just call you and put you on speakerphone. That way I can see if you drop off a little easier, because we can't see anything when you drop off. We just hear a random beep.
Okay. Can you hear me okay?
Yep.
Yeah, just trying to get your volume
okay. Right.
I think that'll work.
Yep.
Okay, so I was just explaining kind of a little bit of the nuance of the assessment that's possible, just to try to bring everybody up to speed. And I left off talking about how there's different classifications of land that are possible. If you have some counties in Washington make a difference and a distinction between irrigated and non-irrigated agricultural land, versus land that's not used for agriculture, so any of your city lots. And so just wanted to briefly go over that for anybody who might not know, that an assessment is possible, and to be able to fully fund our program, it could be, you know, a dollar a parcel or something like that for, you know, for the entire year to have it be something like a dollar a parcel would provide pretty substantial, I think that would be almost 100% of what we do from the general fund. Anyway, so I wanted to get the temperature of the room, and maybe we'll just do kind of a roll call so each person can weigh in. Would that work out, Jerry?
Yeah, that'd be fine.
Okay. So the question is, again, are there any circumstances or any parameters you can think of where you would be in favor of an assessment to provide funding for the field inspection program. And if so, you could just briefly state what you would support. Starting with Lee Wells.
You put me up front. No, I would support it on a partial basis. That makes it even for everybody. And the majority of the farming parcels are larger. And it would make everybody help pay the fair share for controlling the weeds. So I would be aboard. Is there anything else you were looking for, Justin?
No, that's great, Lee. At this point, it's just a discussion. Nobody in management has actually put it forth, or they're not even really considering it in detail. But one of the steps involved would certainly be to have the weed board take a position and have a consensus, so I can explain to anybody who asks, well, this is what the weed board thinks. So that's why we're taking the temperature. And then Lisa, can you weigh in?
How much would they want to be taxing per parcel?
Yeah, that would be something where again we can set it up just like the classifications of land. There's a couple of different options that we have. So it's possible to just do a flat rate, and like I say, there's something like 177,000 parcels in Clark County, and other counties have rates that are, you know, somewhere around $2 at the minimum. They go up to $5, that type of thing. But the options are many. You can have a flat rate of $2 a parcel, and then an additional percentage by the acreage. So if you say an additional, you know, 1 cent per acre or something like that, or, you know, a hundredth of a cent. There's all sorts of options. But for instance, if we did like some of the other counties in Washington have done, and we have a $2 tax assessed per parcel, then that would fully fund our program, and then some.
Okay, so $2 would just be like you have property regardless of the size.
Exactly.
$2 tax. Okay, mm-hmm. That doesn't seem too overbearing. I'm not super pro taxes, but I understand, you know, that it's a fine balance of you have to be able to fund these things, but you don't want to overburden people. Mm-hmm. I guess I would be pro that. Yeah, I would support that.
Okay, and you brought up a good point. I think one of the parameters is probably important to consider is in this structure, if we had specific caveats to say we don't want it to be any more than this dollar amount, or we want it to be fairer to this classification of land, so that, like I said before, maybe the scrubland or the non-irrigated land or agricultural land or timber land or whatever classification you wanted to make, they have a different rate where they're not going to be assessed at a higher rate, they would be a lower rate. That's something we could definitely specify. So if that's a sticking point for anybody, then, you know, just let me know when you're sounding off that you say it, you know, it's conditional on this sort of thing happening, that the amount would not exceed $2 or whatever. If that's
just creating burden would be my only concern. I know that the Weed Board's work is very important, and you know, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure, and all. My only thought was, if it's only going to be $2, I don't think that this would be worth it. But there are currently programs that are being funded and ran through some nonprofits where you pay a small amount of money to have somebody come to your property, and they do, amongst other things, they see what invasive plants are on your property, and you can get a certification through the name of this program is slipping my mind right now. I know the watershed stewards are doing it, but like if it became something, $2, I don't think it's really worth it, because I feel like that makes more expense than it would save. But if it is becoming something that somebody's like, well, I can't pay that, then they could get that certification and have lower taxes. I don't know. But if it's just $2, then...
Okay. Well, maybe I'll mark you down as conditionally support as long as it's $2 or less, something like that.
Yeah. When you were talking about this, I mean, is this going to be like, you know, another few hundred dollars that everybody has to pay? But $2 that's very reasonable.
Okay. And then, let's see, Bill Zimmerman.
So, a couple of questions here. Now, you're talking just a flat $2 for parcel, no matter what the parcel is and such. Now, like on my place, we've got 8 different parcels of land, so we would pay on all 8. But $2 is nothing. I wouldn't worry about that. Question for you on what all parcels would be required to pay. Would it just be ag lands? Would it be ag and rural lands? Would it be ag, rural, and, you know, all these, you know, we've got thousands of pieces of property out here that are 5 acres, 2 acres, 1 acre, whatever. And geez, around me is we've got a lot of 1 acre lots.
Mm-hmm.
And man, they're just chock full of tansy and one thing or another.
Mm-hmm.
And doing nothing about it. So if we limited it only to ag and rural lands, I would like to see us, you know, go further than that and assess against the other smaller parcels too.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. So how most counties do it in Washington is they have a base tax. So $2 for every parcel, regardless of the type.
Okay.
The percentages get added on after that. So you have a base, and then you are assessed your size as a percentage of a classification. So okay. It can get a little bit more complex if you like it to be.
Okay.
That's why I say we have options and parameters. So let's take an example. King County would be a good example where they have a really big mix of rural properties and urban properties. And for them, they're fully funded through their assessment. They're doing just fine as far as I can tell. And they have the assessment. And so, for instance, if they have a base amount, and I don't know what it is, I don't have that spreadsheet right in front of me, but if you like, I can send around the spreadsheet to everybody, because it's got the assessment and the rates and how each county does it. And rural counties do it sometimes differently than other counties. But like I was saying, if you want to assess $2 base for everybody, and then on top of that, 1/100 of a cent per acre. So for most people, that would come out to, boy, you get rounded off, it's just 1/100 of a cent. So, you know, something like that. But if you have a really, really big parcel, and it's used for timber, then you could assess that at a different rate. You could say, well, now instead of 1/100 of a cent, we don't want to be too big of a burden on timber. Now you're 1/1000 of a cent or whatever. So if I have 1,000 acres of timber, it comes out to another cent. These are all numbers that you can play with and adjust. But if you had 1,000 acres of, you know, let's say that it's something like the railroad, you know, owns huge tracts of land that are...
I'm on a Weed Board meeting. I forgot about it for an hour. Young Groat showed up with your old truck. and wanted some straw.
Hey, Lee.
Yeah, so I'm just going to be listening. I'm going to be heading that way. Okay. Bring your checkbook. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll keep going. But yeah, that's something that you can definitely weigh in on. If you wanted to say certain classifications of land, you have a lower rate, and then if it's just a really, really, you know, you could have a different rate for classification. So if you're in the current use program, you could be in a different classification. Or if you wanted to, you know, prove that you're non-irrigating or, you know, agricultural or urban, you know, you could have a different classification.
So I guess, this is Bill again. Speaking from my end, if we had just a flat rate per parcel, I don't care whether they're inside the urban growth boundary, outside, if they've got a lot or if they've got, you know, 100 acres. Mm-hmm. If just straight two, you know, if it's $2, that's straight. That's great. I do have one other concern, and that is that, you know, a couple of years ago here, we tried to float a deal for the conservation district for $5 a parcel.
Right.
And it was soundly turned down by our county commissioners.
Exactly.
And I guess, you know, I'm a little frustrated that, you know, that we couldn't put this together with conservation district or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I realize it's two different agencies and one thing another. So anyhow, but yeah.
Good luck. Yep.
Yeah, so that's a good point. I know that some people have expressed a concern with the duplication of services. If conservation district is going to somebody's property and saying, well, you've got this problem and that problem, and you've got some noxious weeds there, and you know, you've got these other issues, and then I show up to their property and I say, well, here's your noxious weeds and here's what you're doing. If we ever were in the future to coordinate with conservation district, why, I think it would be much better for us to make sure that we don't have any duplication of services, if that's
or, yeah, if possible. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyhow,
yeah.
That's my concerns on this. I have no problem with the assessment. I'm a firm believer that if you own property, you need to take care of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and for your neighbors too. Yeah.
And I think it's like, last I heard, it was something like $38 a parcel for the clean water program. I think that's the base for stormwater, for their base stormwater fees. And I don't remember if they have something else as a acreage. Maybe Kevin knows. Kevin, do you remember if they have a sliding scale for acreage on that? Maybe he muted himself. Kevin, are you there?
Yeah, sorry about that.
Oh, no problem.
I'm not aware, I don't remember at least, if there's a sliding scale or not. I think, you know, each county does it a little bit differently. So some might use that approach and then others not.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I'll mark you down as you favoring the base.
Yeah.
The
yep.
base rate. Okay. All right. Next is Jerry Kolke.
Okay. I guess I'm a little nervous about additional fees and taxes all the time. I would be in favor of, you know, some kind of assessment per parcel. And then as long as we had some kind of control over the length of that, or if it's up for review once in a while, whether it's every year, every 5 years, and who has control of, you know, okay, it's $2 a parcel this year, and somebody out of the area, well, however, they, okay, next year is $3 or $2.5. So I have concerns that way.
Right.
So that always makes me nervous.
So it sounds like conditional support if we can control any future increases.
Yeah, something like that. Too bad.
Justin, this is Lee Wells. One question I have, that number, and I've been in and out on a conversation, and that $2 per parcel, that includes all homeowners' parcels also, doesn't it?
Yes, that would be every single parcel in Clark County.
They would be helping kick into the coffers.
Exactly.
And I like Jerry's idea of maybe having a sunset on it, whether it be 2 years or something like that, and or 3 years, and then revisit it again and see what the outcome has come out of it, and then go from there, if that's possible.
Yeah. That's definitely possible. It sounds like something that we could write into it as our statement of what we're interested in. That's what I want to end up with, is a statement that the Weed Board can vote on and agree to, that we would support it if it looks like this. And I think, Kevin, is it possible to write in something about a sunset into a policy like that, where we have an assessment, but it must be reviewed every 2 years or something like that?
I would assume so. I don't know enough about the assessment process yet to say one way or the other, but I would assume that whatever resolution that council adopts as part of putting an assessment into place could require some form of a review and a period in which you do that review, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, whatever, so that you're making sure that the assessment is adequate, but also that it's not more than is necessary to meet the goals of the program. So yeah, I would assume so.
Okay, thanks, Kevin. I could definitely see, if we have a statement that the Weed Board supports, where we make it clear that we're against creating any sort of large burden on taxpayers. Okay, and then we just have Randy Laufer.
Yeah, I'm sort of like Jerry. I shy away from more taxes all the time that comes out. And this is sort of open-ended. I know it's just a discussion. But again, if it's every parcel and a low amount like $2, that's not going to be very much. But once you start getting into acreages and stuff like that, and like myself, I got a lot of timberland out here, where that's going to be taxed. And a concern I would have is assessing people that are fighting these weeds, and some of these people don't fight the weeds. So everybody's paying the same, but some of these people are not fighting those weeds.
Right.
And is this money just going into the Clark County Noxious Weed, or is it going into the general fund?
So that's a good question. For an example, we're talking about a program that would be very similar in some respects to the Clark County Clean Water Fund, which is funded by an assessment. And the state law makes it so that if it's an assessment, like you have in other counties, the state weed law specifies that it's to go to the control of noxious weeds. So it's not going to go into the general fund. If it's an assessment for noxious weeds, then it would just be for that purpose. Does that answer your question?
So what you keep talking about the water assessment, and we've been paying that for quite a few years, and I know out here myself, I don't see where any of that money is being used in this area.
Randy, this is Bill, and I agree with you. It's darned irritating on some of it, and that's part of the reason I would lean toward a flat assessment across all pieces of property, is I'm sick and tired of paying that clean water, and then they gripe if there's any talk about a farmer going out and developing his property, that it's terrible. Well, if you want agriculture to stay in, well then quit making it harder on us.
So overall, I guess I would be for it, but again, there's so many questions here that would have to be set up, and some parameters like you've been mentioning all along.
Right, okay. So maybe it makes sense for me to work with Jerry and I could send some draft statements over to Jerry, and as the chair, he could continue to shape that, and then not that we're in any hurry on this, because it certainly isn't anything that you know, we're not getting any airtime, but if you know, by the next weed board meeting, he and I have hammered out a draft, then we could put it in front of you guys and have something that says something like, the weed board supports a assessment of $2 flat rate for all parcels with a sunset, so that it gets examined every 2 years and can be repealed by whatever whatever's possible. We would definitely need to work and figure out what sorts of things are possible. Does that sound good, Jerry?
Yeah, that sounds fine. I would think that it's an absolute sunset. I mean, it just flat goes away unless it's approved again.
Okay.
That's 2 through 4.
Right.
I would be more apt to follow something like that, that they're, you know, it has to be approved again, not the other way around.
Okay.
But yes, that's fine.
So this is Bill, and Jerry, I completely agree with you. The other part I would like to make sure is in there is that it cannot be approved or reinstated by the county commissioners, but rather has to be reinstated by the weed board themselves.
Yeah, however that works. But
yeah.
Who brought this assessment up? Was it the county commissioners, or was it the state?
No, it wasn't the county commissioners. It was actually county manager. The county manager was interested in understanding the funding levels of various programs, and I think that's because of the pandemic and the future outlooks on all the expenditures for the general fund. So I think that's where the interest came from, but I don't have any indication that it's going to become something that goes in front of the Clark County Council. So.
Okay.
All right. Well, that's great. Thank you all for weighing in on that. Jerry, is there anything that the board has?
I have nothing as far as from the board that I know of, unless an individual wants to speak up. We're just moving forward.
Okay. Hey, this is Bill. A couple of things I have is, I was interested in the notes from previous meetings. We talked about the Vancouver Lake treatment. I was interested to see how, if you had any idea, Justin, how did that come out? How did that work?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I'd be happy to speak on that. As far as noxious weeds go, there are a couple that are out there, or have been out there. The treatment went really well, as far as anybody can see. We, as part of our aquatic management grant, aquatic invasive weed management grant, have been back out to survey. We did a survey in August, and end of August, beginning of September. And we didn't find any Eurasian water milfoil at all.
Well, good.
Yeah, okay. which was pretty striking, because we had hundreds of points. We went all across the lake, just like we had done in 2019, and it was very, very striking that we couldn't find any at all. I was pretty impressed. Couple caveats with that: it was also during an algae bloom, so that could also make the milfoil, you know, less active and sink and whatnot. But it was pretty much right after their treatment. It was about 3 weeks or so after their treatment. So that's exactly when they expect to see the best results on that product. So that was something that I was pretty impressed by as far as seeing that result. The other noxious weed that's out there that's listed is the curly leaf pondweed. And I also noticed that the numbers on that were way down, even though the chemical that they applied doesn't really touch that at all. It's not good for that. So that to me would say it was probably pretty late in the year to see vegetation out a lot. But with that said, we did still see some vegetation. Mostly Elodia was out there. So it's pretty interesting. The next step in that grant will be for us to go out and survey again in next spring, and hopefully all the native plants and everything are going to be growing vigorously, such that we can see, oh boy, you know, we've gotten rid of the milfoil, but we have a good rebound of native plants. You know, the aim is not really to wipe everything out.
Right.
So
do you foresee, though, with the milfoil, that we'll have to continue these efforts year after year for a time being to eradicate it completely? Because knowing, you know, as invasive as this is, it will be back. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So I'll mention a couple other things, too. The places where Vancouver Lake is connected to other water bodies, we have Burntbridge Creek, Lake River, and the Flushing Channel. Flushing Channel connects it directly with the Columbia, and the Columbia has milfoil all the way up into Canada. So you're never going to get rid of all the milfoil. The Canadians don't really prefer chemical. So that's going to be a huge problem in the future. But the Friends of Vancouver Lake also treated the Flushing Channel. So they wiped out, they wiped out the milfoil in the Flushing Channel. And this year, we also did a quick survey up Lake River. So just checking for milfoil and found none. Burntbridge Creek, we do know, has some milfoil. Gets down to, you know, kind of a trickle. But that's going to probably be, you know, the next introduction, because that's coming directly down. Whereas the Flushing Channel kind of draws backwards almost at a kind of a perpendicular. So the company has at times guaranteed results for 3 years. And I don't know if they made a similar promise in this case. As far as I know, this is the first large scale application of this product on the whole West Coast. I wasn't able to find any previous large-scale application like this when I was searching around. So the fact that they have at times guaranteed results, no milfoil for 3 years, that's impressive, and the results that I saw were impressive. But next spring, you know, we'll get a good indication of, you know, how much is coming back. I would expect at the very least, or how should I say, at the best case scenario, I would imagine that it can go into a maintenance mode where every 3 years something's going to need to be done. Maybe that's a very minor mop up where they can, you know, have a very minor effort, or maybe it's, you know, something larger. But I would imagine at the best case scenario, they'll need to continue to keep tabs on it. Okay. So,
all right, thank you. The other question I had was Union Ridge that we had the assessment against. Did they finally settle down on it and decide that, all right, they were going to pay it? I mean, I know we assessed it, whether they paid it or not.
Yeah, well, there's a couple of them that still haven't been paid. I haven't heard anything back from Burlington Northern, and last I heard, the Washington State Department of Transportation hadn't paid either. What was that? Oh, okay.
Justin sent the findings and conclusions. We sent that to Union Ridge.
Okay.
Certified mail, but they still have not paid yet. So
okay.
I'm checking, you know, weekly to see.
But it will stay as an assessment against the property and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, the next step is to let them know that we're actually going to file a lien.
Okay. Yeah.
So and we've done that in the past, you know, anytime somebody doesn't pay, then it becomes a lien on the property, can be collected as a delinquent tax, and
right.
We have some options there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That's all I had. Yep. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions? And Chris, do you have a next meeting date? Is that?
Yeah, I think if you guys want to just stick with the first Monday of each quarter, starting in February, and then just tentatively schedule an appeals meeting in August, we can keep it the same as what we did this year.
Yeah, we've had that for a few years now, so that
yeah.
I think has been working. Everybody has it in their calendars perpetual.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I can send, you know, I will set those dates up and send those out
okay.
If everybody is in agreement, and then I'll have to post that in the newspaper and on our website so everybody has those dates. And well, you can keep it the same time and you know, still show that it would be here in B1, even though we don't really know for
right.
sure how this is going to look next year.
Well, February 1st is a Monday, so if we wanted to keep doing the first Monday of every month,
yeah.
then February 1st is our guy.
Okay.
Okay. I'm not hearing any discussion against it, so we'll go ahead with February 1st at 9 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
B1 or teleconference comes
yeah.
out.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
I have another question about the drooping sedge and the Spanish thistle. Do you have the Latin names for those? I was trying to look them up, and drooping sedge came up, but Spanish thistle, like a whole bunch of stuff that's probably not the right stuff, came up.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Do you want me to forward you that email? It's got all the information.
Sure.
Okay. Yep, will do. Thanks, Lisa.
All right. Well, hearing no other issues or anything, I'll go ahead and adjourn the meeting. Everyone have a good fall, winter. Hopefully we see everybody on the other side. Have a great holidays.
Yeah, you too. Thanks, Jerry.
You bet.
All right.
Thank you, guys.
Take care.
Thank
you. All right. Hang up now.